In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
44 yards away to do it.
Man, that's why you love college football, man. You hear that? The band starts. You don't get that anywhere else.
Did you see Tessitore and what was it, Jesse Palmer and the rest? They were all drinking Guinness with their faces in it. And they even had to be told, that, hey, you guys might want to calm down at the end of the game. You're having too much fun over in Ireland. But it was cool to see that college football is back.
And Georgia Tech upsets Florida State. Georgia Tech unranked. You went into it the game Friday saying that Georgia Tech was
a live dog, yeah. And I go ahead.
And I said to you, I think it's more, I don't know how much better Georgia Tech has gotten, but I think those two teams kind of meet in the middle.
Yeah.
I think Florida State has come back to the pack, and Georgia Tech is stepping a little bit away from the back. I think it's a combination of, yeah, Georgia Tech's got a little bit better, but I don't think Florida State has gotten any better.
So Georgia Tech's coach, former offensive lineman, so you know what he cares about, the trenches. And they interviewed him after the game, and he was like, run the ball.
Right.
You know, like you're coming in. That's what you want to do. The other thing about it, and I try to explain this to people, not like trying to sound like you're smarter than anyone else, but there are certain times, like in baseball, Scott would always say this when I worked with Garceau, you want to play Kansas City when they know they're Kansas City. Now, it's a little bit different because Kansas City's decent now.
Right.
You want to play them at the end of the year. Now, in college football, when you're playing a team at the beginning of the year, everybody thinks they have a chance.
Yes, they do.
And then if you're on national TV, like yesterday, you're going to get the best game that, or yesterday, Saturday, you're going to get the best game that Georgia Tech has.
You got 19, for the most part, 18 to 22-year-olds, for the most part. You got some guys a little bit older who get to go over to Ireland to play football. Do you know what they think of themselves? Man, we get to go over to Ireland. They invited us over here to play football. They're feeling extra froggy about themselves. What does it say about the ACC, though?
ACC.
What does it mean for the ACC?
It's down, man. It was going to be down. Like, I'm going to make you smile. Clemson ain't what everybody thinks they are anymore. Like,
they're not.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you they're a bad team, but, like, they should not be put in the class of, like,
South Carolina's getting recruits that Clemson used to get.
Fair enough. And that's kind of my point.
New coaching staff and all that.
Can't put Clemson in that class of Bama and Georgia and some of these other,
right.
Ohio State and Michigan now, because they're just not getting the same level of talent that those other teams are.
For years I thought ACC was Clemson in them. Before then it was Florida State in them. It's never been to me a top to bottom really quality conference. I think this year it'll look like quality because it's so much parity.
I think
but I don't think it compares to the other quote unquote quality conferences.
I think Miami's going to win the ACC this year, and it's really tough to bet on a Mario Cristobal led team because after what we've seen from him everywhere he's been,
he's so much talent.
But they got Cam Ward transferred in, so they got themselves a really good quarterback. They've had a couple other transfers come in that can help them out.
Right.
Another team that I'm interested in is NC State. I'm not telling you they're going to win the ACC, but They're probably better than you think.
They're very good.
Yeah, so like there's teams that you have to take a look at, and when you're diving into the information that's out there, anybody can look it up, you'll start to see who hit the transfer portal. How long does it take for those guys to build rapport with your guys, you know, and did you have enough time to get everything ready? The coaching staff, is it a staff you can trust? You know, I was talking about the quarterback, DJU. I'm not even going to say it.
DJ Ulele.
Yeah, you can say it. Ooh la la. But he's a game manager, and he has been since Clemson. Like, we watched him at Clemson going, man, that dude's big. Look how he that's all he's going to do? He just, he's okay.
And also, Jeremy, you know, in college football, it's a lot like the NFL, upper-level college football especially. You're as good as your quarterback.
Yep.
And Ulele, when you have a game manager, then, you know, you better have a lot of good pieces around him to manage. I think the ACC, you say it's down. I think it is what it is. You'll find one team that's going to be better than the others. To me, that's typical of the ACC. In terms of the grand scheme of college football, any one of these cats national championship contenders?
No. I don't know that. I think one team out of the ACC might be in the top 12, and that's because they have to put somebody in that wins it.
Right.
In the next couple of years, I wouldn't be surprised if we had a Big Two in the Pac-12, the Big 12. It's the Big Ten and it's the SEC.
Right.
That's what it is. And like at some point, the SEC is going to go, Vanderbilt, we're going to need you to go somewhere else because we're bringing in somebody else. And I had
Missouri.
Yeah.
Well, I think Missouri as well.
Missouri is going to be really good this year, though.
Okay.
So just keep your eye on him. And by the way, really good. Like there's certain teams, and I don't mind, I'll say this. Go look at Iowa's schedule. They have one tough game.
Right.
They're gonna go over their win total. Nebraska is way better than you think. They were better last year. Yeah. They just didn't have a quarterback. Now they have one. And then I think they go over their win total. Missouri is really good. People are interested in Ole Miss because they have one of the best offenses and best wide receiving cores, but their offensive line is suspect and their defense is suspect.
Yeah, but if you got a coach that can kind of get much out of that offense as he can, they've got that coach.
I'm just trying to give
people. He can squeeze everything out of that offense.
I mean, Lane Kiffin is
he's a masterful offensive mind.
And he's a douchebag.
He is.
Both things can be true at the same time. But Rob, for people that don't follow college football, like routinely and know what's going on. Like you'll probably have a better idea week 3, week 4 because you want to watch it.
Right.
But maybe you haven't paid attention to the offseason. You got to look at those things. And I think schedules are important. And I ultimately think we get to the two gigantic conferences where they're doing their own thing. And then we'll see everybody else filter in. I love Utah this year. I think they win the Big 12. I mean, there's a lot of things
you think Utah wins the Big 12.
Absolutely. They're the best team out there by far. Cam Rising to me is a long shot play for the Heisman.
Yeah.
If I know somebody that has a Heisman vote, I might tell them that Cam should be looked at, both Cams, Ward and Rising, Rob. But I don't know anybody that has a Heisman vote. that could get you in trouble. I'm just kidding, guys. As you look at college football, I do think there's a lot of things you can attack. The Pac-12 is going to be down or whatever. Is it a Pac-6 now? I don't even know these teams.
Six-pack.
I mean, it's frustrating. I miss the old days of college football.
There's
Pac-12. Yeah.
It's done.
I wish we had. That's what I'm saying. It's just like, those teams have all bounced around and tried to figure something out. You had Arizona, Oregon State, who am I missing? A couple other teams that went to the Big 12.
You know what? I know people have said that, and I get why they say that. I guess I don't get caught up in all that stuff. I don't care. I'm Jeremy Conn on this one. I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care about what conference you're in and all that stuff. That doesn't matter to me. These kids had to travel that far. I guess they're going to miss class. Stop.
Once
these kids don't go to class anymore, it's all online.
Once Florida,
it's all online. They go to class in their hotel room. They go to class while they're eating. They don't have to go to class.
Once
it's online,
all that stuff. Once Florida State and Clemson figure out a way to get out of the ACC, I think Miami will follow if they're as good as I think they can be. Mario, don't screw this up. His team quit on him last year.
He can't help it. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Making these dumbass decisions, man. We playing hard. And you're losing the game. You're literally losing the game.
And, Rob, the other thing with this, too, is, like, you start looking at these power conferences and what they want to do. You're going to see some of these teams get filtered out, bringing other ones in, and it's going to change the playoff format, or at least who's getting in. Because, look, if the SEC has 5 of the best 12 teams, I want to see all five in the postseason.
Don't worry about how many being fan of nobody. Be fan of me. Give me a quality product on the field. That's why they didn't have Florida State in the playoffs last year. They knew once Jordan Travis, right?
Yep.
Once Jordan Travis went down, I keep mistaking the Travis, Jordan Travis. Once he went down, it was over. Once he went down, it was over. Nobody wanted to see that. I wish the NFL could do that.
It wasn't just him. The second string quarterback went down.
I wish the NFL could do that. Nah, nobody wants to see a backup quarterback. But he got a chance to win. Yes, but still, my point is no one wants to see it. I'm not saying they don't have a chance. Nobody wants to see that.
This is just the fugitive. Like, I get people going, like, but what about this? What about this? It's not fair. I don't care. Like, you're not wrong. Like, the Florida State should have been in the playoff from what they did. I just don't want to watch that
mess. Nobody wanted to see that. Like, I gotta protect my product. Evan Washburn joins us at 7:30. Rockabacco gets us back to baseball at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, Ravens, considering the injuries, would you call the Ravens preseason a success or failure? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
You bring in a little John Mayer? I like it. Jeremy Kahn, Rob Long here with you. It's the Big Bad Morning Show. We're going to talk some Ravens and talking about the preseason. I absolutely despise the preseason, and I've made numerous attempts to tell people that on the air. It's not something I want to see, but the fact of the matter is it's a necessary evil, so you go through it, and it's so boring, and I say this every year, you're at a situation where it's like you're trying to get through without any significant injuries, and depending on which team you talk to, they're probably upset over the injuries they have. And I think if you're the Ravens, you have to be fairly happy that you got through without real significant injuries. But, you know, I'm just one of those guys that doesn't care about the preseason, just the fact of the injuries. What do you think, Rob? Do you consider this a failure or, you know, something positive with the preseason?
Any major injuries?
I mean, not in my opinion. What Wright was, there were a couple guys that are dinged up.
But... I'm asking a question that I know the answer to. No, yeah. I'm good. Thank God it's over. Thank God. So I can't wait till we get to the point where we realize it's a unnecessary exercise. It is. I mean, when your number one goal is to get through anything without an injury, think about it. Week four, no one said, well, my number one goal is to get through without an injury. No, your number one goal is to win. You don't want an injury, but your number one goal is to win.
The only times you say that are in preseason football and when you've locked up a playoff spot or your division. Yep. I just want to get to the end of the season and into the playoffs with no injuries.
And think about that. Even in that situation, that week number 17 is irrelevant because you're already in. You know your seed. You know everything. So it's an irrelevant game. You still have to play it. It's on the schedule. Preseason football, man,
I hate dismissing it because, look, there are a lot of important aspects to it, to filling out the rest of your roster, guys playing special teams. How often have we heard, if you want to make it on an NFL roster, you better be good at special teams. If you're not excelling somewhere else at a skill position or whatever, you better be up to go out there, run down the field and tackle somebody. I look at those things, but I think that's mainly what you're doing in the preseason is you're trying to find who's going to fit your roster, who you have, and avoid any significant injuries.
Joe, what do you think? You think it was a failure or a success?
I would call it somewhat of a failure. You lost Linderbaum. You don't really know what's going to happen with him. Your offensive line does not seem set.
Yeah, but they haven't played together yet. So
that's like, what I'm saying. Like, you needed to get more reps out of these people to say that, like... We'll address it a little bit later in the show for the barbershop topic, but I actually feel a little bit worse about what we're going into for 2024 than the same or better.
See, I don't. We don't know anything. And look, the schedule in the beginning of the year is a little daunting.
Yeah.
But the Ravens should look. They're going to be fine. They're going to have a good defense. They're going to have a solid running game. Probably the best running game in football, or at least in the top three. And then you start to look at all the other pieces that they have. Now, if the offensive line is trash, Lamar's going to be running for his life, or you're going to have to develop a lot of quick strike things and a lot more three-step drops, five-step drops, get the ball out quickly. Maybe we're seeing more slants, more underneath stuff. But that's up to Monken to figure out what they need to do if the offensive line ends up being trash.
Want to hear from you. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Your thoughts have the... it was a preseason of failure or success for the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, and the other part of this, too, and what Joe's talking about, the neck injury with Linderbaum, like, we don't know the severity of it, but I haven't heard anything that made it sound like it was really significant. Have you? That they expect him out for a long period of time? Because he's just questionable for week one.
When Harbaugh says, though, he should be ready. You can't believe that.
Yeah, I know.
Andrews should be ready. Okay, well, like, Rashad Bateman should have been good. And, that, like, should have been good to come back in time. Like, and that didn't happen twice.
Yeah. Well,
you can't believe Harbaugh.
No,
you can't. You can't, I mean, honestly.
Tell you anything. But, yeah, so, like, look, the preseason for me is avoiding these major injuries. If the Linderbaum thing turns into something huge, then, yeah, I mean, look, watching Ben Cleveland play center wasn't ideal.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I'm not upset the media members ask Harbaugh about the injuries because they're supposed to. Leave it up to him to mislead you. But I can't believe him. I can't.
Yeah. It's just, you know, like, even looking at this team now and how it's assembled, I kept saying I wasn't concerned over the offensive line. But again, not seeing the guys play together, you just don't know. You don't know what they're... Offensive line, people talk about wide receivers and quarterbacks. Like, you got to build this rapport. You got to work out in the offseason. You got to do these things. And I agree with all that. But there is something to building that offensive line where you got to pick up each other's slack, knowing the calls, who you're blocking, at times helping someone out. It might even be just, boom, let me give you a little chip and get to my guy or whatever. And having that rapport, I think, is huge. And the Patriots were that one team that they didn't have a lot of first-round picks on their offensive line, but they were good every effing year, which was frustrating.
410-583-1057. Wakeem in Baltimore. What's up, man?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. I love this topic, man. I think John Harbaugh did a good job of pivoting because you know, when we were winning all those playoff games, everybody was, a lot of people, key people was getting hurt. Now we don't care.
You mean preseason games?
Yeah, that's right, sir. When we were winning the preseason games, I mean, we had that streak going, but we didn't have our running backs. We had a streak going, but we didn't have, you know, key players on the defense or offense or whatever the case may be. So he's like, whatever, with the preseason, you know, let's keep our players healthy. So that's my point. Thanks for taking my call this morning, fellas.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I kind of threw me for a loop. He did say postseason, right?
Yeah, first.
But you know what he meant.
Preseason.
Yeah, and again, like, preseason, it's something we say every time we're coming in. You're not showing your hand offensively, defensively. So for people to sit here and say you got to go in the preseason, you're not even practicing what you're going to run in the regular season most of the time. I mean, it's very generic stuff.
Never.
Because you don't, God forbid, you show somebody a play and then you get into the regular season week one. Here comes a double reverse pass.
Yeah.
Got to have it on film so they got to prepare for it.
So when do you practice those things? In practice,
yes,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's overblown. It's been this way for years. I've been against preseason since way back when people are like, oh my God, he's got to get out there. I understand if you have a rookie quarterback like Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, any of those guys that you want to see them play. You know, even the kid Milton out of Tennessee for the Patriots. What do you say? He thinks he can throw the football in the air 100 yards?
Yeah.
So I'd like to see it. But, you know, like, there's different things that you're going to see in the postseason, but it is for rookies coming in, seeing what they look like. And God, for, like, Joe Flacco, remember what he looked like in his first preseason game? Woof, against the Rams. I remember radio the next day where people were like, that's the guy we drafted?
Yep.
He turned out to be all right. Right,
I remember in practice when you had Flacco before Troy Smith. What did Troy Smith have? Tonsillitis or something?
Yes.
And Kyle Bowler had the shoulder thing.
Mm-hmm.
Before they got hurt, before they were the tonsillitis and the injury, I thought Flacco was the best quarterback in practice. I did. I remember me and Casey Willis standing next to one another. I'm like, oh, I don't know about this, but the rookie doesn't look bad. He looked better than them from the beginning to me.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know. Yeah, not hard to do.
Well, but when you go out for your first preseason game with the Rams and you got to play all four quarters, it's just like he did not look good.
Did
in
he
that
do
game.
That against the Rams and the, was it Minnesota Vikings also?
I
that
think
year?
He had to do it another time because of
all the injuries.
Yeah. And nowadays you invite another couple camp bodies for quarterbacks. I'm sure there was.
But they just wanted to get them going.
Yeah.
Which, you know, at the time was really controversial because you had a rookie head coach, too, making that decision. You're going to play the guy you're relying on all year, the entire preseason?
Yep.
I wonder if John Harbaugh would make that decision nowadays.
Probably not.
Because in order to play Flacco a lot, you had to have a lot of offensive linemen still playing that whole game.
Well, the other part of this, too, is like just look around the league. This isn't a Ravens thing. How much Aaron Rodgers? How much Matt Stafford? How much Dak Prescott you see in the preseason? Keep going on with the – and I don't even have to just go quarterbacks. Look at the big-time player. They're just not going to play because the risk versus reward isn't great enough.
Rock Abaco joins us at 8. World is Stupid at 8:15. on his first day back to school on the other side. Evan Washburn will join us, talk more Ravens and maybe the playoff, or the, I should say the postseason injuries. Preseason injury situation. The caller got me all flustered. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
7:32 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris on medical leave. Joining us right now from CBS Sports, he is Evan Washburn. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning, Rob.
Evan, we were just talking about this. Want you to chime in on this because it's a thing. When you measure success in a preseason, whether or not you get in there healthy or not, to me, it's unnecessary. It's an unnecessary activity when that's the only measurement of success.
In terms of the value of training camp?
Yeah, no, not training camp, preseason games.
Yeah, preseason games.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's an unnecessary expense for the team. I think there's plenty of other value that is existing there for the organizations and for certain players that will be a part of some of these teams. But I've really come to understand it in recent years, but really came to light this year for me. It's a situation where there's competing agendas that are all funneling allegedly to week one being the best you can be for the games that matter, but coaches, GMs, everybody are fighting the fact that they've got to satisfy different agendas that work against each other over the last month and a half here.
Hey, Evan, I want to get your take on this because I always think there's a lot of cool things before the season with new faces and new places, i.e. Derrick Henry here in Baltimore, Saquon Barkley in Philly, and I'll even throw Kirk Cousins in Atlanta because there's a bevy of weapons. Is there one that stands out to you that you're really interested in seeing how it plays out?
I think the Cousins one would probably be near the top of that list for the fact that I think he's still now coming off of Achilles is legitimate, but still in that prime of his career. And there's definitely a ceiling to what Kirk Cousins is, but I still think that ceiling takes you deep into the playoffs or could. And I just think that's an extremely winnable division. There seems to be a lot of energy behind Atlanta when I would probably lean more towards Tampa because they've kind of quietly dominated that division even without Tom Brady last year. So that would probably be the one that I find most interesting because there's some mystery to it.
Yeah, well, Evan Washburn, CBS Sports. Evan, I know you do national, but you cover a lot of the Ravens as well before the season begins. Lamar Jackson coming off his second MVP season, big key to the success of the Baltimore Ravens naturally, but you got to have an offensive line. Your thoughts on the Ravens line situation going into the regular season?
Yeah, well, first of all, and you guys hit it on the update there, just condolences to Joe D and his family and the organization. Obviously, had some really tough news yesterday. And from a football side of it, yeah, that to me is the group that's going to be the biggest question mark going into the season. And when you're replacing three spots, that's legitimate. And I think that there's clear confidence in the depth, and we saw that last year. They, by design and by their own decision, had a rotation, which is rare at that position group. Continuity is always key, but they felt comfortable, and it was effective. to rotate, and I think we'll see if that depth is still there, even though it might be a rookie at right tackle in Rosengarten. And then the coaching situation. Well, the real true kind of what matters is obviously the loss there, but how that group kind of comes together and rallies is going to be probably the biggest question mark, not just for week one, but for the first portion of the season, because if they can't protect Lamar and they can't give him time, then that, as we know, impacts so many other things.
I love what the NFL did to start this season, because you can pretty much throw whatever you want out there and everybody's so excited they're going to watch, but they give you a rematch of the AFC Championship on Thursday night, and then you get Philly and Green Bay on Friday night in Brazil, which should be a lot of fun. What do you make of those two games, Evan, and how do you think this rivalry, if you want to call it that, between the Ravens and Chiefs ends up?
I mean, I think it's been the kind of sneaky best game, most interesting game going back the last, whatever it's been, 4 or 5 years since Lamar's really become the guy, and then Mahomes, since the day he took over, has been the best player in the NFL. And I mean, I can't wait for it. I think, look, week one, really the first 4 weeks of the season, to me, are fool's gold, where you think you know based off of what you see, and results, while they do matter down the road, I don't think they're true indicator of who's good and who's not. But I love the way the NFL's kind of stacked this thing. I mean, they're giving you the candy right out of the gate, not just with, as you mentioned, the Thursday nighter, which everybody here's jacked up for, but that Friday night game, sneaky Peacock Brazil, is interesting too. And look, the NFL is just in this moment right now, and maybe it'll hopefully last longer than a moment for those of us that are involved in it, where it's appointment viewing at all times. I mean, I found myself watching the Sunday night game last night for a little bit, and then had to kind of put my priorities in check. But it's just where we are with it, and I like that they saw and recognized that AFC Championship game had so much juice behind it. And I don't necessarily, maybe it's painted by where we're coming from, I don't think it was the best game necessarily. So a chance to maybe rewrite some of that on Thursday night, while it won't matter to the extent that the AFC Championship game would, obviously, I think it was a great call.
Hey, Evan, two quick things. Where can people find you week one, and how far in advance do you get your schedule, if you don't mind telling us? Because I think that's kind of an interesting thing. Are you waiting around to find out where you're going in 3 weeks, or do you kind of have things laid out?
No, I'm happy to talk about it. It's an interesting layer to the job. So I know the first 3 weeks of my season. This is about as much as I'll know. So week one, it's Cincy, New England, which now has even some more intrigue if Drake May is going to take over, if Brissett's banged up, or if he won that job, who knows. And then week two, it's Aaron Rodgers and the Jets visiting the Titans. Mm-hmm. And then week three is Minnesota and Houston. And I think Houston's going to be a team that we're, as a crew, I and Charles and I are going to see, because we get often the main 1 o'clock window game. And Houston, to me, is a team that's going to find themselves in that spot a bunch this year. And after that, it really becomes sometimes 2 weeks out, but further into the season, it could be as tight as 7 to 10 days, because we really like to play off of who's good and who's healthy and stack the games that way. So it's fun. I mean, so the email comes through and you're kind of wondering where you're going. We all try and guess, but I'm often wrong more than I'm right.
There he is, Evan Washburn. Evan, thanks a lot for your time this morning.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Good to be with you.
410-583-1057 is the number. Let's take a call before we head to the break. Go to West Baltimore. Shallow had a question or comment. What's up, Shallow?
Hey, Ron.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, man. Hey, look, hey, Ron, I'm going to comment on the subject about the preseason games, right?
Go ahead, bro.
I feel like that, even though it's preseason, it's still football, right? Because you draft players, you sign players, you try and, you know, fill out your 53-man roster, right? But if you don't have a game like, you know, action, how are you going to be able to determine what these guys going to bring to your team? I don't think that practice is going to – you got to be in a game-like action to be able to determine someone's talent. I don't think you're going to get it out of practice because at the end of the day.
That's why we said the split practices.
But even then, I don't know that you need that. Look, these are pros. I don't care about the rookies and everything. You're going up against other pros in practice. Like, if you want to find out if a receiver can run a route and beat a defensive back, I can do that at practice. And I understand, like, the hitting and everything that goes on. These guys have been hit their whole lives playing this game. I don't want to see my guys taking extra hits that they don't need to take. And again, like, you're not even seeing your best players now. The teams are starting to realize it.
He's saying, how do you see who makes the team?
That's what
somebody else makes the team.
Well, that's
and, my question to this, Shiloh, is this. If you got the third stringer going up against the third stringer in a game, then how good is he? How do I know how good he is when he's going up against another guy who's trying to make the team? He's not going up against that third stringer. If he plays in the game, is going against starters in a real game. So I don't. It's a bad measurement of how good you are when you're going up against other guys who may not be on the team either.
So how you go? I'm just trying to figure this out, right? How you going to tell me that you're going to get more of an evaluation out of a guy in practice? If a guy playing in a real
shallow, if you got a rookie quarterback never played in the National Football League, and the defense is you got two rookie corners who were probably free agent sign-ons, you invited them to camp. You got a linebacker who may have been drafted in the fourth round. You got a front line, a couple of free agents there. How good is that quarterback? You don't know because he's not going up against guys that are going to be playing in the league most likely. So you don't know. That's my point. If you do a split squad scrimmage or you find out in practice because he's going up against your number ones, which you could put him in that situation, Jeremy, then you know.
Well, that's why I think the split squad scrimmages are way better than anything you can do in a preseason game. And on top of it, I said this earlier, in preseason, you're not going – it's vanilla offense, vanilla defense. You're not seeing anything special that you hadn't seen in years.
And how many times do we have a guy look good in camp? I mean, in a preseason game, we say, well – we don't know how good it really is because, well, if you don't know, then why are you doing it? That's my only question. If you don't know, why are you doing it? Yeah. Rockabacco joins us at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, the Birds are hitting, they hit a lot of home runs this year, second in baseball. But do they rely too heavily on the long ball? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
In the air, that is clobbered. Left center field, way back. And CNL. How about that?
Ramon Urias hitting his ninth home run of the year. If he hits another one, that'll be 9 Baltimore Orioles players with double digits in home runs. From the top to bottom, there's a lineup that can hit the long ball, folks. They can. You've got Santander, Gunnar Henderson, Colton Kowser, Adley Rutschman, Jordan Westberg, who was on the IL, Cedric Mullins with 13, Mountcastle with 13, and O'Hearn with 12. You've got a chance to have 9 players with at least 10 home runs. I think that happened in 1996, that team did that.
Okay.
And 9 players back with Todd Zeal and all those guys, all with double-digit home runs. Hmm. Burris can hit the long ball. But I'm going to let this guy who inspired me for this topic chime in. Antonio Rosedale, what's up, man?
How you guys doing?
Good. Doing well. How are you?
Good. I was able to attend the Orioles Hall of Fame luncheon and a Buck Showalter meet and greet this weekend.
Nice.
They both were great. Too many 2- and 3-hit games. The Orioles relied too much on the long ball. And you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day, too. So it's Antonio's segment.
Well,
the Birds rely too much on the long ball, Jeremy Kahn.
Probably. I'd say so. When you hit that many home runs, it's going to stand out.
3 runs on 2 hits last night.
Yeah. And that's where like you start thinking about it. 2 hits. And Ramon had one of them, and it's the biggest one. You know,
3 run home runs.
And you start looking at those things, and I would say yes, that they do rely on it a little bit much. And the thing that concerns you about teams that rely on home runs that aren't named the Yankees because
2014.
Aaron Judge and Juan Soto have more home runs in the past week than every team in baseball.
2014. That's what happened to 2014 Orioles.
Yeah.
Here's the difference, though. I don't think the Orioles are going to be trying to hit home runs. I think they have a problem offensively. Relying on too many home runs says you're going up there trying to hit a home run. I don't see that. I don't see that. I mean, Gunnar Henderson is a line drive hitter. I mean, his home runs just because they were elevated, they're not hitting moonshots. He's hitting line drives. The one last night, Urias, line drive. I think there's a team that's sputtering offensively at times, but I don't know if they're relying on a long ball.
I just think that they struggle mightily against left-handed pitching. You go back and look at the games, and I know they had a four-game set. Hunter Brown, Spencer Arrighetti, right-handers have been good. Framber Valdez, Yusei Kikuchi, what he did.
Kikuchi.
Thank you. What he did last night. You go back to the Mets series, what did they see? Lefty, lefty, lefty.
Lefty, lefty, hefty, hefty, hefty.
Yeah. Whippy, whippy, whippy. No, but I look, it's a predominantly left-handed lineup. I love the fact that Kowser and Holiday are hitting against lefties, that they become everyday players, because they should. Uh-huh. You need to find out what's going to happen. So it is tough to sit here and say, yes, that's all they rely on, because I agree with you. I don't think they're swinging for the fences. Mm-hmm. Especially in this ballpark.
I thought the 2014 team did at times swing for the fences. I did. You know, that team hit a lot of home run hitters. And I think, you know, in terms of maybe Adam Jones didn't. I think at times Manny Machado did before he got hurt that year. Chris Davis as well before he got suspended. I thought a lot happened with that team that when they were trying to hit home runs. I think this team has some offensive challenges. It just so happened that they hit a lot of home runs.
By the way, it was cool seeing some of those guys back in for Nick Markakis going. And by the way, all those guys giving Chris Davis a hard time saying, hey, he's been enjoying retirement. Screw you. I'd be doing it too. I ain't got anybody to impress. Have fun. Do what you want. It's always got to be some sort of backhanded comment from somebody or taking a shot at him. It's the same stuff all the time.
Always. By the way, I'm disappointed.
What?
It took you almost 2 hours to say Yusei Kikuchi.
Yeah. Well,
got pitched last night. I was the whole time he was on the mound last night. I'm thinking, I can't wait for Jeremy Carr to say his name.
You were waiting for it. Okay.
I was waiting for it.
By the way, Melissa Kim posted something the week. I have a GIF now or GIF that just says okay. So that's what I post every time she posts something. But no, like to your point too, Rob. It's you're talking about Kikuchi. I've said this numerous times, guys. If you get a chance, watch him pitch in Houston. It's the coolest thing in baseball. The Yankees have their stupid ass whistle when somebody strikes out that we all hate. Uh-huh. When you say Kikuchi strikes you out, thank you. They play Lisa Loeb. You say every strikeout. It is the best thing in baseball.
Toronto probably thinking, why didn't we think of that? Why didn't we think of that? Corey in Baltimore. What's up, Corey?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, Rob,
Corey, you sound too laid back, man. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm at work right now, baby.
All right.
Dumping dumpsters, baby.
All right, I got you. All right.
But look, check this out, man. I checked out my son's schedule. My Gamecocks don't play your Gamecocks this year. You guys.
Who are you, Jacksonville State or somebody?
Yes, I am.
Hold on. We're ducking Jacksonville State?
Yes, sir.
In what world will we duck Jacksonville State, Corey? We'll whip your ass. We will whip your ass, Corey.
You seen that game last year, right?
Corey. Come on. Corey.
You know you was holding on, son.
Corey. I do. You did. You're right.
I know.
You're right.
Hey, but look, though, on the real though, man, like, I don't know, maybe it's me. I don't think they rely on the home runs, but these guys don't have plate discipline. I watched them.
I know that.
It was 3-3. And it's like, man, they swing at everything that's not in the center of that plate. It's like,
not only that, Corey, but to me, with less than two strikes, they swing at too many pitcher strikes.
Man, that was just crazy, man. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with the O's, man. They got to get it together for these playoffs, man. We're going to be sitting at home again, man.
Did you go to Jacksonville State?
No, my son goes there,
Your son, okay. Does he play?
Yeah. What you mean, do he play? Yeah, he play. look for number 11,
man.
I want McCray from Baltimore.
My bad. Corey, my bad. I wouldn't talk trash if I knew your son played, man. Much respect.
You're going to see a dump truck outside the radio station.
Yeah, he's going to have a dump truck in front of my car, and I'm not going to be able to pull off.
Does your son play?
Y'all have a good thing, man.
What you mean my son play? You think he's a water boy? Oh, no. Is he on the team? He got a little. Dude, I ain't gonna lie to you. I got a little scared. Does he play? My bad. Corey.
Merk, merk.
Who the hell's outside with that dumb truck?
Yeah, he put a little. Man, he made me back down a little bit the way he came back and asked me. He ain't even standing here. You don't mess with nobody's son. Does he play?
Oh, man.
My bad, dude. World of Stupid at 8:15, but on the other side, Rockabacco joins us up next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.